Happy New Year. God bless you. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. The Lord is here in a special way as we worship and praise him this new year. Again, if you're new, I'm Pastor Jeff, the Membership Life Pastor. Pastor Paul is taking a break today, well-deserved break. Every time I preach for him, I always just appreciate all that he does, all his hard work. He not only shares great messages, but always leads the music. So happy to give him a break today. But he's going to be back next week talking about prayer. And today I am tasked with talking to you about fasting. So ushers, bolt the doors, okay? You don't hear this message too often, and it can be a pretty hard message, at least on our flesh, but we're going to talk about recharging our spiritual batteries through fasting. So in preparing for this message, I've been thinking a lot about the recharging that goes on around my house, okay? With six kids, there's a lot of activity with batteries, the Wii controllers and the Xbox controllers and remote control cars and eight devices. You know, one of the pre-Christmas presents that I got for myself was a charging station that can charge six devices at once. And so that's one of my daddy duties, is I go around at night collecting all the random devices and put them on the charging station, and I get a lot of bonus points for that from the kids. You know, but like our phone or our tablets, we need to recharge our spiritual batteries every single day. Jesus taught us to pray that in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a daily thing that we need to do, daily recharge. It's not, it's always going to be a need. And one of the ways that can help us recharge our batteries is the spiritual discipline of fasting, okay? So not only do we need to charge every day, but sometimes there are seasons that we need to fast and pray for an extended period of time to recalibrate and to recharge our lives. So today we as a church, we are starting a 30-day fast. Okay, you guys ready? So don't worry about lunch or dinner tonight. You know, no, just kidding. We're going to talk about specifics of how to do that. But we're excited what the Lord's going to do. You know, with this new building, this new blessing comes greater responsibility. Every time God gives you new blessings, there's also new responsibility, because the Bible says, "With much is given, much is required." And we want to fulfill as a church what God has us to do here in this community with this new blessing that we have. And we know what it is. It's the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, right? I mean, it's not too complicated. We have the Great Commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, and our strength. And the Great Commission is to go into all the world and share the gospel. And that includes our Honduras mission trip that we're doing in February. It also includes going into all of the community around us. So we endeavor to do that, and we need you to be a part, because the church is the body of Christ. So whether you're the neck or all the way down to the little toe, we need everyone a part of this. And so we're calling this corporate fast, and we have a sign-up board out in the foyer that you can sign up to do that, and we'll talk more about that. And then on the 15th, like we said in the announcements, Pastor Paul is coming back with a new message series called New Beginnings, and he has some specific things that he feels like the Lord wants to say and to do in our lives individually, but also as a church. Okay, so if you look at your insert in your bulletin, there are some notes that you can follow along. The first thing we're going to talk about are types of fasts. So the first one is an absolute fast. This is abstaining from all food and drink, including water, okay? And we don't really recommend this one for extended period of times, of course, for obvious reasons. You don't want to be dehydrated. But the next one is the standard fast, and this fast calls for drinking only filtered water, okay? Then the partial fast involves removing certain elements from your diet. One example of the partial fast is the Daniel fast, and James brought that up in the with the offering. So what happened with Daniel, James started explaining this, that the Hebrew children were brought in and they were going to serve the king, and the king said, okay, I want you to prepare prepare them, and I'm going to give you all my choice food from my table, and eat and prepare yourselves for serving in my kingdom. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, they said, you know what? We don't want to do that, okay? That's not good for us. We don't want to do that. We want to be sharp. We want to be ready to go. Just give us fruit and vegetables and water, and we'll be good. So the king's attendant, he was a little nervous. He's like, look, if you get malnourished, the king's going to have my head for this, okay? But Daniel convinced him. And so for 10 days, that's what they ate. It was the partial fast where we get now the Daniel fast, which is really popular these days. But at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier. They were stronger. They were more sharp than anyone else that was eating from the king's table. And the attendant said, well, that's great. You guys can go ahead and continue. So it wasn't just the 10-day fast that they did. It was actually a lifestyle that they were living of eating right and eating healthy and not just eating all the pleasant food that the king had. So that's a partial fast. And then the intermittent fast involves fasting for a specific time period in the day. So if you're not going to fast the whole day, maybe you could fast after 8 p.m. for a whole week. You're not going to eat anything after 8 p.m. That's one idea. You know, with all of these, you can just do what the Lord is leading you to do. You can just, you know, there's no law here. We're not saying you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way. You can interchange them and pray about it and do what is right for you. But that's one idea. You know, maybe not eating after 8 p.m. for a week. That's a healthy thing to do anyway, right? Okay, a lot of times when you eat late at night, that's when you gain weight because that's, you know, your metabolism shuts down and the food is not being digested right and just kind of goes to fat storage. And actually, I didn't share this in first service, but that's a tip that the sumo wrestlers use to gain weight. They eat heavy meals at night before they go to bed to help them gain weight. So we don't want to do that anyway. So the next one is a soul fast. Soul fast is fasting something other than food. And the Bible doesn't talk a lot about this, but I can guarantee if there were TVs and computers and smartphones and tablets back then, that would probably be in the Bible, okay? You need to, you know, fast this. Or social media, they didn't have social media back then. But that's something good that you could fast in this soul fast. How about Facebook for 30 days? Is that a little bit too heavy? Okay, how about for a week? Can you get off social media for a week, a day? So anyway, again, this is up to you, what the Lord is putting on your heart. And it's the idea is to give some things up to focus more time and devotion to the Lord. Because if it's just fasting without turning to the Lord, it's just starving, right? Or it's just dieting. So the idea is fasting with prayer. And Pastor Paul will talk to you more about prayer next week, and we'll keep majoring on this today. So again, how long, how often, and what type of fast is up to you. Do what the Lord is leading, but do stretch yourself. Do stretch yourself. Like lifting weights, no pain, no gain. Okay? If you're going to gain some spiritual muscles and you're going to recharge yourself, no pain, no gain does apply. So stretch yourself. You may not be too familiar with fasting, but there are many examples of fasting in the Bible. In fact, there's over 70 references in the Bible about fasting. You just don't hear many sermons about it for one reason or another. But we're going to take a couple hours right now to go over all 70 of those references. That's a joke, by the way. I actually got people out early for first service. Okay, but I'll give you a few brief examples. Jesus fasted before he started his public ministry. After he was baptized, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he fasted, he was tempted, he overcame that temptation, he came back in the power of the Spirit and started his amazing ministry for 3 years before the cross. So if Jesus fasted, it's a good idea for his disciples to fast, which is us. Paul and Barnabas fasted to seek God's wisdom. Another purpose, reason for fasting is to seek wisdom in your time of need, a time of decision. They did that before they committed elders to the Lord for his service. Others fasted to show grief in the Bible. A time of grieving, it's a good time to fast and to look to the Lord so he can take the sting out of your grief. Many people fasted to seek deliverance or protection. Times of crisis, to seek deliverance and protection. Like Esther. Esther and Mordecai, they called a fast when they were facing genocide, when the Jewish people were facing genocide. They called a fast. Luke 2 tells of a story of an 84-year-old prophetess named Anna. In verse 37, it says, she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. So again, this is fasting can be a devotion to the Lord, a worship unto the Lord. And this last one is a big one. It's to repent and show humility. To repent and show humility. Fasting should always accompany repentance, okay, and turning to God. After Jonah pronounced judgment on Nineveh, the king covered himself in sackcloth and ashes, and that was part of showing humility, and then he ordered the people to fast and to pray. And then in Jonah 3:10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he threatened. So fasting is part of repentance and humbling yourself. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So another way of coming to God is getting rid of your pride and being humble, and then you can connect with God. You won't be resisted, and fasting can help you do that. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. This one's in your notes. The first scripture there in your notes, it says this: repent, therefore. You can't say that repent word lightly. You got to kind of repent. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, that your sins may be blotted out and the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that an awesome scripture? How many need a little bit of refreshing? Okay. I think you can interchange our key word today with that word refreshing. Repent and turn to the Lord, that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of recharging may come from the presence of the Lord. Anybody need a recharge after the holidays? Okay. I think we all do. In preparing for this message, I got excited about, all right, this is good. I need to do some fasting. You know, all the holiday food that you eat, all the, you know, the time that you're off and just hanging out. It's good so I'm really excited about what the Lord is going to do in my life. And I'm excited if you jump in with this, he's going to do great things in your life. And if we do it together, he's got great things for our church. Amen. So repent and turn to God. Fasting helps us to focus and to connect with God and to be filled with his spirit, or to be recharged in our spirit man. Fasting helps us to discharge the flesh and charge our spirit. Back to my charging analogy, you know, when you're charging a tablet or a device, it'll charge quicker when that device is shut off, won't it? Or all the apps aren't running. And so that's kind of what fasting does. It shuts down all of our apps. It shuts down the apps of the flesh. And so when we connect, we're getting a quicker and stronger charge in the spirit. Fasting is a part of repentance, and repentance is a change of heart or mind. It is an interchange. It's not just behavior modification. You know, it's not just a fad diet. It's not just a New Year's resolution that you do. It should create inner change in your heart, or you could say transformational change. If not, it's just, again, like I said, it's just dieting. It's just starving yourself. But when you do it, and you couple it with prayer and seeking God, God's going to do something in your life that's going to be transformational. Amen? It's going to be renewing our mind. And when your mind is renewed to the truth, when you get a revelation, a new revelation of God, it'll stay with you for the rest of your life. And that's what we're after, that transformational change. How many know it's, you know, sometimes people say, oh, well, people don't change. Well, that's not what the Bible says. We can change, and that's a good thing. How many need to change? Poke your spouse and say, no, don't do that. But we can change. It's part of the promise. Romans chapter 12, be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He started a good work in us, and he will complete that job. He's at work in us, and we're called to be transformed and to changed into his image. Amen? Change or chains? Okay, write that down. Change or chains. We got to keep moving forward or we're going to start drawing back. The middle of the road is no good. We got to get on the offensive and so continue to move forward. You see, there's an inherent danger in fasting, and it's the same danger that is found in the practice of any spiritual discipline when it becomes just an outward action and it's not transformational. And sometimes we can take these spiritual disciplines and we, like fasting, and we make it an end in itself, but it's really just a means to an end. In Matthew chapter 17, this is illustrated really good. This is a familiar portion of scripture in Matthew 17, verse 14. This is when the disciples could not cast out a demon. And then Jesus came along and cast out the demon and healed the boy. And they were like, how come we couldn't cast this out? What's going on? And after Jesus kind of rebuked them for having little faith, he said, it's because of your unbelief. But then he also said, this kind doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting. So which one is the right answer? Was it fasting and praying or because they're unbelief? Well, it was both, but fasting and praying is a means to get more faith, okay? It's not just a magic bullet, well, I'm going to fast and then all my prayers are going to be answered and I'm going to get all this power. No, it's when you fast, you're discharging the flesh. You're turning to God, connecting with God, and then through that connection, he's building you up. He's recharging your spirit, man. He's giving you that faith as you connect with him. So that's your fill in the blank there. If you're taking notes and you got a pen, there should be a pen in front of you. You can fill in your blank. Fasting is a means to an end, and at the end is greater connection to God, yielding greater faith in God. And I know that's pretty simple and straightforward, but let's apply it. Amen? Let's apply it to our lives. It's not just knowing the principles, it's really applying it and using, and you'll see the power in it. The same principle can be seen in Mark chapter 2, and this one's in your notes, Mark chapter 2. This is when Jesus was being questioned about why his disciples weren't fasting. John's disciples were fasting, John the Baptist. The Pharisees' disciples were fasting, but Jesus' disciples weren't fasting. And so they asked him, how come? And he answered this, how can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot. So as long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. So Jesus was basically saying, hello, the purpose of fasting is to connect with me, and I'm here in flesh and blood. Duh. You don't need to fast at that time. But after I go away and you get back in your routine and you start feeling drained, that's the time to fast, to reconnect with me in the spirit. So it's a means to an end. It's a means to connect with God and then to be recharged. Now, I don't think I've ever put these two passages together until now, but the next verse is a very popular verse, but now putting it together with the fasting scripture, and it goes on in verse 21. It says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. So when you put those together, when you fast and pray, you are actually making a new wineskin for yourself so you can receive the new wine and the new work that God is going to do in your life. You know, we have a bearded dragon at our house. They're really cool lizards, and they shed, you know, like a snake. They, you know, get rid of the skin and put on a new skin, and that's so we kind of do that in the spirit. We're taking off the old wineskin, putting on the new wineskin, changing our character, changing, being transformed, and then we can receive the new measure of the spirit and what God is going to do in our lives. And He has that for all of us. Now, the other thing I want to say about this is until you go through that molting process and you're changed, enjoy the wine that you have now, okay? Enjoy the season of your life that you're in right now. Don't be so impatient for what's coming next that you're not being present with your family, your friends, with God, and what He's doing and what He wants to do in your life right now where He is. So you're in this season of your life. And as a church, God has, we believe we're at the precipice of a new season and receiving new wine, and that's what we're calling this fast. But for you individually, discern the times, okay? Discern the times and discern what season you're in. And God is going to just instruct you like of what He's trying to do in your life right now. But He is trying to do something, amen? And what is that? What is that? Write that down. He'll tell you. He has a specific thing that He's doing for you, doing in you in this season of your life. Embrace it. Receive it. Say, yes, Lord. Agree with it. Agree with what the Spirit is trying to do. Be faithful where we are now, and then there'll be a season where God's gonna give you a new wineskin and give you new wine. That takes us to our next fill in the blank. You got your pens ready? Fasting is not so much about food as it is about focus. Okay? We don't want to get caught up so much on don't eat, don't eat, don't eat. It's more about, you know what, I don't have time to eat right now because I need to read my Bible and focus on God and pray and worship. It's not just about saying no to food. It's about saying yes to something or someone greater. Amen. So focusing has to do with devotion, has to do with time. How do you spell love? T-I-M-E. Okay, I use that with my kids for one of our Christmas devotionals because they were saying, we didn't have money to give. Because I like to ask this question around Christmas. Instead of saying, hey, what are you getting for Christmas? I say, what are you giving for Christmas? So I ask my kids that, hey, what are you giving for Christmas? Well, I don't have a lot of money. Well, you can give love, and how you do that is time, spending time with your brothers and sisters and giving them, you know, quality time and devotion. And that's the same way it is with the Lord, giving the Lord quality time and devotion, and fasting can help us do that. You know, so it's, again, it's not so much just about saying no to food, no to food. You're saying yes to something else. You know, when they ask you, when your neighbor asks you if you can help them move, it's hard to say no if you're not doing anything better. But if you're saying, well, I got this, this, and this, then you can say no. Just saying. Okay. So food is a necessity for our bodies, but when we deny ourselves this necessity, we're declaring to ourselves that we are going to let our spirit man rule our lives and not our flesh. Okay, so it's a very spiritual thing when we're saying no to our flesh, and we're going to say we're going to let our spirit man rule. You know, when our kids, we have a couple finicky kids in my family, and I'm not going to name any names, but sometimes it's hard to get them to eat healthy, and to, especially those, I mentioned those kale smoothies that we make, and I try to tell them, look, you know, you gotta discipline your body, mind over matter, and it doesn't work too well, but anyway, so I put a little sugar in it, okay. But we have to let our spirit man rule our lives, not our flesh man. And anything that becomes a priority above God can be an idol, including food. Including food. Sometimes we focus too much on what we're going to eat, where we're going to eat, when we're going to eat, who we're going to eat with, how much we're going to eat. But the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, the Bible says. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And again, none of those things are wrong. Solomon said that we should eat, drink, and enjoy. But it's when it becomes out of balance or obsessive, fasting can help you bring it back into balance. You know, it's okay to enjoy and enjoy your food, but you want to keep it when you want to keep it in balance. We had our staff lunch at Carmel in Winter Park, and Cezanne got to come, and she enjoys going out and eating food. And I was kind of laughing at her, and you know, as she was like, "Oh, this is great, this is great." And I'm not saying she loves food more than God, okay? But I did think to myself, I need to get her out more. So it's good to enjoy, but as Christians, one of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance or self-control, and we need to live really. It's really about living a fasted lifestyle. Amen? So sometimes when you start to fast, it'll help you to be temperate in all things, your eating and other things as well. When I was in college, I rededicated my life to the Lord between my junior and senior year, and I was really just gung-ho, sold out, on fire. Still am, but you know, it's just really special time. And I started fasting. I was fasting every week, and I was, my kids aren't here, so I'll tell you, I was a very finicky eater as well, okay? But fasting helped me to break that, because I, you know, after you come off a fast, you don't want to eat junk food. You don't crave McDonald's, do you? It's kind of like the same after you've been sick. You don't really want to go get a cheeseburger. You want something healthy, and that's what fasting will do, too. Your body starts to crave nutrients, so that helped me break my finickiness. I remember, like, putting a spinach in front of me. I'm like, all right, spinach is good. It's complete protein. I'm going to eat it, and I don't care what it tastes like, and I've made myself, and I love spinach now, you know, and I pretty much can eat anything now besides okra. When it's slimy, that's just maybe a little bit fried, but not the slimy stuff. So fasting can help you to break habits, to break addictions, and to really get yourself back in line and back in balance. So, you know, with six kids, you know, I'm very thankful for my wife. She's a good cook and caring and feeding the kids. And let me tell you, it's a lot of work feeding six kids. Sometimes when I help, just even cook, cleaning, it's like that's all I do all day, just cleaning up after them, after she cooks, especially if it's a new recipe. You know, it's like 10 pots and pans for four items. Like, how does this happen? And then I'm not going to talk about the 20 cups that kind of accumulate throughout the day. Carson's back there laughing. You know, I'm like, one cup per day, memorize it, keep that same cup, but eventually it's like 20 cups. Now, I'm not complaining, though. If you want to hear me complain, let me tell you about taking six kids on a vacation. It seems like all of a vacation, only what a vacation is just eating in a different place, okay? So the kids went to Tennessee with Cezanne, with some good friends, and then they went to Virginia for another week. So it was 2 weeks I was without them. And let me tell you, they are good friends if they're going to take six kids in their house. So it was very good friends. So I was at home for those 2 weeks, and it was like a party. I had my own vacation. I mean, it was so easy. The house stayed clean. Didn't have to worry about the cups. And I'm a low maintenance eater. I was talking to Chewy during that time. She's like, you just eat smoothies because you don't have to chew. I'm like, yeah, it is kind of easier that way. But for me, I made a big fruit and veggie smoothie in the morning. I had that for breakfast and dinner. I made a bunch of salmon burgers and had those for snacks. And here at work, I had just a bunch of frozen veggie burgers I could stick in the microwave. See, this is why Pastor Paul asked me to do the fasting message, okay? Because I kind of live this. But it was really easy. I did lose 5 pounds in those 2 weeks, and I was good with that. But the third week when I met up with them, I was a little short-tempered, you know, not having to deal with all this stuff. And they had to kind of whip me back into shape and get rid of all my selfishness. And I was back in the program. But again, it was about eating, and it comes with the package. You know, our conversation up in D.C. was like, okay, so in the morning, we're going to eat breakfast here. For lunch, we're going to go here. And then dinner, we're going to eat here. This is the plan. And in between, we might catch a couple museums. And they do have a food truck so we can get the kids a snack, right? So it seemed like it was all about food. And at the end of the week, it was like, all right, kids, we can spend the $45 at Chick-fil-A, or we can go to the National Archives. So which one do you pick? And then I'm like, okay, I know this is a little bit too, that's a big decision for kids, Chick-fil-A or a museum. Okay, so I said, all right, just eat this PB&J and let's go check out the Declaration of Independence. Which, if you ever seen it live, it is a little faded. It's hard to read, but I'm just saying. Okay, so all this talk about food, I want to give you a contrasting point here. Fasting is feasting. Okay, fasting is feasting. This is a fill in the blank, but it's feasting on the Lord. Feasting on the Lord. Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy is the man who takes refuge in him." There's another verse that says, "In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So we taste and see that the Lord is good, and the other things, they kind of fall by the wayside. Anything that you know, bad habits, addictions, when you really taste and see that the Lord is good, then you start to crave that. We're made to crave him. Amen. And fasting can help us to get that right craving. Another scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So let me ask you this question. What do you delight more than the Lord? What do you delight in more than the Lord? That might be a good place to start fasting. Start fasting that and change that and put it in proper order so you can really delight in him, and then he can give you the desires of your heart. That's a neat scripture. I share that in Growth Track. But has anyone really just thought about that? In my prayer time, I'm just going to delight in the Lord. Think about that. Have you done that? That's going to be a good place to start in your fast. But fasting is a spiritual discipline that we need because there is a war that goes on between our flesh and our spirit. And this is your last fill in the blank. There is a direct correlation between crucifying your flesh and strengthening your spirit. There's a direct correlation between crucifying your flesh and strengthening your spirit. In Galatians 5, he says, it describes this war that goes on, and it says this is a constant battle raging between us, raging in us, and it prevents us from doing what we want to do unless you crucify the flesh. And like I said, we're going to be doing this until we leave these bodies. This is a battle that does not go away. This is a battle that continues to happen even when you become a really mature Christian. And the key is, like the Apostle Paul said, he said, "I die daily. I die to my flesh daily and live for him." It's a decision every day that we need to make. In 1 Corinthians 9, he says this. 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, "I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached the gospel to others, I myself will not be disqualified." That's pretty aggressive language there, isn't it? But that's the type of aggression we need if we're going to win this battle between flesh and spirit, this battle that wages inside of us. Other translations, instead of saying discipline, it says, "I buffet my body," or "I chastise my body." Another one says, "I beat my body." I like another one I looked at. It says, "I pummel my body." Okay, I pummel my body. So you're disciplining your body, making it a slave to your spirit man, not vice versa. And fasting can help you do that. Put your flesh under so your spirit man can rule. Amen. You guys ready? Inspired? Couple people? A little nervous? Anyone's flesh kind of screaming out, saying, "No, I like my chocolates." That's probably what I'm going to fast, because I do like chocolate. Not a lot, a little dark chocolate, but I'll probably give that to the Lord. I haven't totally prayed through all that I'm going to do yet. But I have one more verse for you, then we're going to go. In Luke, Jesus is giving his final instruction to his disciples right before the Last Supper, and he was telling them about the end times. And let's take a look at it. Luke chapter 21. It says, "Likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away until all is fulfilled. The heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with excess and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unaware. For as a snare, it shall come on all those that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch thee, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." You guys ready? You guys ready? It will come, and it's going to come like a snare. We should watch always and be ready for it. I love in verse 34 where it says, "At least any times your hearts be overcharged." It can be overcharged with the excess, with the flesh, with drunkenness. And it also says it can be overcharged with the cares of this life. Like the parable of the sower, the cares of this world can choke out the word of God, can choke out our connection or block our connection. So that's one of the things that we should see in fasting and go for is, as you fast, let it go deep and help set you free from anxiety and fear as well. Amen. So it's not just abstaining from food for physical or healthy reasons, which there are a lot of health benefits, but it also, if you open up your heart to the Lord, can do a deep work and transform your life, set you free from anxiety and care and worry and fear, so we can together accomplish what God has for us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.